Hallelujah. Have a seat now, amen. Hallelujah. Mark 11. Amen. Mark 11. We're still looking at faith for all times, for all seasons. You know, like I said last week, the basics in the faith are the major things. There are some things that wouldn't change. That's what I was talking about when they sang the song. And you might just forget that or not put to your mind that that was the word of faith. You know, to believe in miracles is the Christian faith. To believe in the power of God. So, we must have that attitude, you know, to the miracles. One thing I found out is that, and I must mention this, this is not the first line of my teaching today, is that some of us, I think I said it earlier too, in one of the teachings on Wednesday, that some of us have a way of allowing the not too good experiences to become the basis of our believing. What I mean by that is, for example, you have a very crucial financial need, and the first thing that comes to your mind is the day you prayed and you didn't get the money. I mean, you didn't get the help. You know, that's the first thing that comes to your mind. But that cannot inspire believing. What ought to come to your mind first is the day you believe God and got it. Because the human life has, you know, different cycles of experiences. Sometimes some things that you feel went wrong because of a reason today, in years to come, you look back and say, no. I blame the wrong thing. I said the wrong thing and all that. So at times, you know, we just say, well, I mean, at this point, I was hospitalized. I believed God for healing. It was headache. But eventually, I was hospitalized. But why are you not talking about the time you were scheduled for a surgery and you didn't have to take it? That should be the first thing on your mind. The time you were totally down, couldn't go to work, and you just believed God. That should be what should come to your mind. Look at Hebrews 11. Just share that. Hebrews 11. And we have something about those things. They're very basic. I remember when Kenneth Copeland and Dora Copeland, I didn't call those ones by first name, but Brother Copeland. Right. Say Papa Copeland, he looks very strange. Brother Copeland, Kenneth Copeland. And Mama Gloria Copeland as well. Both of them had this, the problem was financial, and then there was a lot of problems in the ministry and all that. And then they said, look, they just said to themselves, look, there are some basic things that we know. And I heard that thing from Charles Capps too, that he just said, what did I first of all read? What are the basic things? They went to, they had this prayer cabin from that story, and they went together, and it's good to have that kind of spouse. Who spent the whole day telling you, I told you! I told you! You see what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying? Let's pray. I'm not saying we should not pray, but next time, listen to me. that's not good. You shouldn't, and I must say this, you shouldn't be nagging. You know, faith never grows or it goes weaker in the realm of condemnation. That's when somebody's feeling he has sinned, something has gone wrong, he will never be able to use his faith. Why not wait till we get the result before you tell me what I didn't do right? It's like Jesus telling Peter, did I not tell you? Come. See your life. You could not fix your eyes on me. Anyway, I have replacement for you. I have John. You know, so it wasn't just like that. He just said, well, you should have believed God. He just, yeah, we are waiting for the, I told you moment. I told you moment. I remember my dad said something very funny. I just remember this last week. My brother was very ill. And you know, he wasn't not necessarily listening to anybody. He would go out for a party. So my dad, I was going out. I said, come, pastor. Come and pray for him. I said, well, you know, I was trying to say, he won't listen. He said, no. Let me quote him. That's not why God gave you anointing. God gave you anointing for sinners. So, you know what's so funny? Said, just bring your hand. Don't bring, leave the other one. It's God that gave you for all of us. Put your hand there. You know, me too, the anointing man. You know, the timing can be very funny. So sometimes you just start nagging. You should have done this. I told you. Okay, now. I have not done it. We are in a mess. Can't we just use our faith? Jesus said, peace be still. Before he said, why did you doubt? Hold your little faith. He said, Master, wake up. This time he said, oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh, little faith. Ah. Oh yeah. The guy like, hey. Ah. Baba Zanguba. Before you know it, they will have jumped inside the water. It's our little faith. You know? Let's learn to encourage one another in faith. Don't say, I told you. Well, you don't do your morning devotion. Why would you not be sick? How is that the way to have somebody believe? You know, both of them went to the prayer cabin and, you know, they took those basic books by Brother Hagin. And some of those books are very small that I know them in my head. I know them on my heart. How to write your ticket with God. You can have what you say. So simple things. Very simple. So I was telling me, he said, I don't like that formula, Brother Hagin. I said, what's the formula? I said, how to write a ticket with God. I said, I can tell you what it is. You know, he said, that's the thing. He asked you, what about revelation? I said, you've never had a problem before. Yeah, looking at the, what about revelation? I said, I used it without knowing anything you're saying. And it has worked over time. I know that one. You know, it's good to know what you know. When they gave David the helmet, he said, aha, this is even heavier than me. He said, King, I cannot go with this one. I have not used it before. I can't go. When things come like this, I just pray in the Holy Ghost. I know the way I follow God. Someone said, no. Let me tell you. When you get a scripture, add it to a verse, then a psalm. Okay? I don't know we have to do all this. I just believe God. You know, so they went. And they just stayed in faith. We're giving thanks to God. And giving thanks to God. In fact, Brother Copeland is such a, he's quite an extremist. You know, if you are walking in his office, I don't know why I'm talking about him today. If you are walking in his office, and he finds out that you are walking in strife, he said he knows that faith doesn't work in strife. He won't ask who was right or who was wrong. He will sack both of you. He said, he used to say somewhere else that, look, that he can help anybody with any problem in the flesh. That you know that one is the word. But that strife thing, you hinder yourself, you know, you hinder all of us. So he will sack you. Initially, I thought it was extreme. Why would somebody feel strife? When I saw it with my, you know, there's something in the Greek called koro eyes. When you will see it like this, you say, aha! I mean, brethren will have prayed, will have all prayed, believe God, and then some brethren will just come out from nowhere.
I have a question.
That's all the speed breaker that you need. Somebody's always just thinking something, Say, well, I'm sorry to say this, you know, I know you told us that strife is not good, but then, I want to report bro so and so. You call bro so and so. She reported me, right? All the prayer I've wrapped up. You know. And Hebrews 11, right? That's what I say. Hebrews 11. Somebody was trying to tell me how divine healing. I said, look, let me tell you something. There's a problem you're having here. I said, what is it? I said, I don't need all this explanation. Now I could explain. I said, look, I've been healed before, over and over again. I'm not the one you are going to be explaining to that. You see, let me tell you, divine healing. I said, it's not me. You see, go outside there. You see some people. Then you don't know what you're talking about. It's not me that you tell, hey, you know, let's look at something. If I looked at those facts, I would have been dead. The facts you are trying to say, if I looked at it, if I tried to even think about it, I would have been gone. And when the doctor gives you a report, and your mom and dad are there, my dad was doing big man, he was just looking like this, my mom was crying. Ah! My mom is a very strong person. If my mom is crying, faith is gone. Ah! No, she doesn't. My mom can be stoic. But that is, she said, ah! I look at her eyes, I say, yeah. All the Bible study I was supposed to be attending, all the word I was supposed to know, this is the end. The man said, let's try 50-50. I saw her eyes, said, this is problem. So we are together, we are believers. We encourage ourselves to believe. I like someone, a pastor of mine said in university, a brother was believing for something. So he said he wasn't persuaded. My friend is a minister in the Methodist Church. He was our best man on our wedding day. Very, very close. So he said that, look, he said, Shemu, you know, even though I don't agree with him, he said, but you know, we are believers. We cannot encourage anybody to doubt. That's what he said to me. He said, I'll just have to, he said, eventually, and it, I love the wisdom he said, eventually, he may not get it. But we are glad that he was able to believe God. You know, that was important. So as believers, that is what we do for one another. Hebrews 11, I was going to show you something. I learned this from this scripture. I remember it was, now she's the pastor of Henshaw. Well, not the desk pastor. Betty Price, Mama Betty Price. Also, she was called Betty Price then. The wife of, why am I talking about the wife of the one today? I think I have a reason for that. You know later. Verse 11. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. I was delivered of a child. You know, usually most of the stories are Abraham. But the writer of Hebrews brought out the Sarah part and said she was past age because she judged him faithful who was promised. And she said, look, that when they were believing God for ministry, she just said, look. She looked back. I said, I can look at what he has done here, what he has done there. And that is how to use your faith. Judge him faithful in all other areas. There are other areas you just look back and say, I thank God. And that's what you are going to be talking about. You know? And some of us know that period somebody was telling me, I'm believing God for, I went to the person's house. The brother said we should go and pray for her. A member of the ministry there. So I got to the house and I saw, you know, this, Yoruba movie. And the other one's Iweka Road. It just was full. Ah. You know what I'm saying? Something you do matter. Then Iweka Road, you know, it's a combination. So I saw the different movies. Rescopio. Ah. Somebody believing God. Saying you don't want to die. And I saw, they just slaughtered something in the dream. Lift him up. By Ron Kenoly. Just one. I said, don't let me waste my time. This one is not believing God. This one is not ready to stay. How would you, where the movies you are going to be watching is die, they will be there. They will not talk divine healing in those movies. So by the time you are seeing somebody in the hospital, in those same movies, you are believing God. They just say, Chade. And you're believing God. How would you believe God? So I think that's why he's preaching. And he says, you know where they're in the hospital where I believe God? I say, Chadia. Oh, God, we are mine. Say, I judge him faithful. You look back and thank him. At the hardest moments. You know? One day we were getting married. How am I talking about that today? God help me. And my dad said to me, he said, where is your house? I said, I don't have anyone. A few days we went, he said, you sha. You didn't want to criticize me. I said, find a way around it. My head was in a welcome meeting. So when he called me like 72 hours, he said, how about the house thing? What's your plan? I said, I think there's one we got. He said, eh. I said, tomorrow, sha. He said, He was not excited. He said, but you're not sure. He said, is it that he's not sure? I said, he's very sure. Ah. He said, very, very sure. I said, yes. He said, the man even said, we should pay later. Pay what? Later. He said, I said, everything's there, furniture. I said, the only thing we are going to add is TV. He said, I don't understand you. He said, everything is there. Just moving. He said, I knew this guy. Ah. What are you looking at, man? What's my own and your own? You believe God? You look back and say, I believe God. If it's not difficult, it will be called a miracle. It has to be difficult. It has to look impossible. She judged God faithful. You have to look at that. You've seen areas. You know, areas, maybe just headache. Maybe just, but you saw it. You raised your hand, you thank God, and the healing came. That is how to think whenever you have another issue. I told you last week, and I'm going to talk about it again. Rotox was believing or something. I went to visit him. And he will be using me for testing. We just walked in and said, remember that number one. We did it again today. Is that one I'm going to talk about now? I said, go for it. He said he was in a meeting. This is today. I called him. I said, okay. So he said, I'm in a meeting. I said, give me some few minutes. Excuse yourself for me. Are you not the one? He said, okay. I said, remember that thing, eh? Can we go back together? He said, yeah. Say again, say, you're going to take more than 5 minutes. I said, say, I'm going to send it to you. He said, fine. Because now they were walking. I said, these are the principles. I was looking at him. You say, repeat after me. He was the one needing it though. I'll repeat it again. He said, what's number one? What's number two? Number three. So next day, he said it again. Ah, I said, what's going on? He was meditating. Are you here? On the word of God. Now that's not the time. You now look on Facebook. You're now scrolling down. Just following reels. I mean, you don't believe. You are just joking. You just say, 5 signs to know. 5 symptoms. That's how it is. She judged God faithful. Mark 11. Last week we said that believing God, we look at Mark 11 and say the mountain there is the temple. But we not said last week that when I believe God for a miracle, I see it as part of his plan, right? Uh-huh. See it as part of his plan. I believe God to heal my body because I know part of his plan is to redeem our bodies. I believe God. I believe God for provisions. I believe God for my needs to be met. Because part of his plan, but there will be no pain, no cry, nothing, no needs. I know that's part of his plan. So since I know that, I can release my faith and believe God in that direction. So look at that Mark 11. Now we said last week that it's faith in God's faithfulness. Faith in God's faithfulness. Mark 11. Mark 11 and verse 22. Have faith in God. Or believe in God. Or the faith of God. Or the faithfulness of God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. You can't miss out the emphasis of speaking. You can't. In Matthew 17, Matthew 17, and verse 20, it says, they asked him, why in verse 19 could we not cast him out? Talking about the demon. Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall move, and nothing shall be impossible to you. In Mark 11, the mountain was about the temple. But a similar principle is here. You shall say to this mountain, and they were talking about a demon, be removed and cast to yonder place, and nothing shall be impossible.
possible to you.
If you look at the story of the woman with the issue of blood, what was the emphasis? Mark was deliberate. He said she had been sick for 12 years, suffered many things of many physicians. When she heard of Jesus, and I also talk about this a lot, that you have to be careful what you hear. You know, some was like, you know, that this was trending, and some people like that, they'll just take on one man of God, and they'll be talking about the man of God, before you know it, they'll talk about the church, the power of God, the Bible, and then they'll just go. You never know the extent of how people are going to go. And imagine in the time of Jesus, this woman, all she heard about Jesus was, they said he was born of fornication. They said he was a wine barber. They even said that and that was what she was feasting on. There was no way she'll have received the miracle. And the people like that, they will be feasting on that in one corner. In another corner, they are praying. And then they are praying, but they have actually cut themselves off the supply. Because you are praying, believing God, and then believing God for what? For God to send to you people that you don't believe in. She heard. She could have heard. There were different things going on about Jesus. I mean, look at Matthew 16. When he asked, what do people say? I'll tell you something, the person laughed over. I said, even God, when he became flesh, when he asked, what do men say that I am? See the different versions. I mean, what could be clearer than God himself? And they say, some say, you are John the Baptist. Others say, you are Jeremiah, Elijah. Those that didn't waste their time, they are one of the prophets. I said, these are even the godly ones. Others say, blind Baba. Same person. One singular person, diversity, diaresis. One singular person. Even the closest person is the prophet. And I said, who do you say that I am? So imagine that kind of view. She heard of Jesus. How did she now say, if I touch his clothes, I shall be whole? Maybe it was a mode of ministry of Jesus that was popular. So when I said, don't mind the guy. Don't mind him. I don't know what he put on his clothes. I don't know. Maybe there's a demon. Remember they were talking about a man of God in Nigeria, the university. And then they were talking about this man of God. No. And they said, this man of God is evil. This man of God is that. So, and I told them, I said, this man of God, you are saying, has laid hands on me. They all kept quiet. You know when I said, they all kept quiet. So I said, you have laid hands on you before. You have ministered to you before. So you know why? Because that man laid hands on me. Said, hey, they didn't say anything. I were all lawyers. I were law students. Everyone just walked away and said, because they know that when we get on the Bible, you'll be quiet. And I said, me, I've laid hands on you. I pray for you. I minister to you. Is that man? I've also said, is that man? When he laid hands on me, that made it possible. Everyone just went. So, you know, he just heard it. If I touch his clothes, I have been made whole. Someone said, I don't like that meeting. A guy was telling me, he gave 1.5 meetings. He said, he was analyzing the meeting. He said, it was at a, you know, like, he said, I saw what you call Holy Ghost. He said, I saw it. Wait, oh. He said, what I do? I said, they were really, really excited and, you know, burning their energy. I know, I was looking at it. So I gave him a book on tongue interpretation. So he now came back to me in inbox. He said, he was talking about one demonic issue. And sickness. So you had that one. That day. And you had time to be, you are not serious. You had that one that day. You're not serious. She heard. What did she say? If I touch his clothes, I shall be whole. She kept saying it. How many of us can speak like that before we get to church? A lot of us, when we get to church, you now raise your voice. You know, every time the music team are singing, they say, rejoice! That's the only place you rejoice. The other time you rejoice is when justice calls one, go outside five. 5-1. Hey! Aves, what's his name? That's all you. Rejoice in the only joy you have done is in church. When you get home. She kept saying it. In the kitchen. Rather than shouting on her children. You won't kill me, oh. It's been 12 years I've been sick here. You don't care for me. She said, I shall be with home. That's what she was saying. She said it and said it. When she got there, Mark was very precise. As soon as she saw the hem of Jesus' garment, she was home. So he was trying to explain to me that it's not the garment like that. You know, people are very funny. I said, what was it? He said, it's a prayer shawl that has something temporary. So I showed him another place in Luke 6, Luke 5. I said, what about Acts 19? Handkerchiefs and aprons were put on the body of Paul. Did they bring prayer shawl to them? At least that one was Ephesus. It can't be Jewish tradition. Peter shadow God. Is it shadow shawl? Come on. This is a miracle. This is a miracle. John was asking me, was it last week or was it earlier this week? He said, Pastor, we know that the way Philippians 4:19 is, which is in glory, is a believer. I said, that explanation, I don't use it when I believe in God. He said, what do I mean? I said, it's to explain how. Or sorry, why. Not what. You need the what first, then you now know the why after. I said, God supplies me. That's all I say. I don't say, riches in glory. I know it's the believer. I know it's generous. I know. You are also teaching God. I said, thank you, Rabbi. I said, you know, the people, they hear, go and pour the meat water out. Is that what you heard? He said, oh, take it, Rabbi. I said, you need a house rent. You are now saying, the riches in glory. Lord, better check your phone often. So I believe God. For she said, very simple principle, She said it. If I touch his clothes, I shall be made whole. If I touch his clothes, I shall be made whole. Hallelujah. You know, you can also say, when I start the business, I know there will be provision. There will be help. You know, that you say, just sit down somewhere and just go and put money in one ministry and say that there will be money for you. Your money has gone. Sit down. Now it's great. You know, just I believe God. I believe. If there's an area you should be confident, is when what you do is a miracle. That's the area you know that you can use your faith. I can believe God. Amen. So, she said, now, there's something I want you to see now, which means that Jesus put premium on words. And that's why teachers of the word will call it faith confession. Of course, that word is a bit nebulous, but faith confession, that is, when I believe God, there are words. A man defined confession of faith as my words agreeing with what God has said about anything, including my praise. That's why when we praise God, we don't just say anything. Hebrews 13 and 15 says, you know, he said, let us therefore by him, let us offer the sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of our lips, confessing his name. So we are saying it in agreement with what he has said, or in agreement with his power. Which means that it's not about what he has said, because you can just be in a meeting. I remember one Miracles Extraordinary we had in 1998. And this woman, you know, she was an Elijah.
I won't say she is, because it's been a while. So Elijah. And the way she was so intrigued that night, in fact, in one of those outstanding times that just a parcel of land, right there on the pulpit. And she said, she came and said, Jesus should heal her daughter. And she's going to give. The funny thing about it is that she didn't say, I'm now a Christian. She just said that when she heard, she said, well, the power of God is here. So I believe God that when this man of God prays, my daughter will be healed. Before she came, she had brought something to give. I mean, I just looked at it. When she came out, it was an outstanding testimony. I don't know why I didn't ask her, you want to believe God? I don't believe Jesus. I just asked. Because why is it on the pulpit? She said it. From home. She just released her faith. I don't want to ask another guy without being in the congregation and say, but why must she give her land? That was not serious, have you? Why must she give her land? Things of God are free now. And in Sico, why was she? You know, the Pharisees were in the healing meeting, looking at Jesus. Why would he heal on Sabbath day? They are Sico. They are sick. She just said, I believe God. Look at those who got healed in the ministry of Jesus. They weren't believers in the gospel. The power of God was present. So, confession of faith is when my word agrees with the power of God in the meeting. It's not like you have a scripture. The power of God is in the meeting. I believe and I receive. So, confession of faith is when my words agree. The power of God is in the meeting. Now, look at Mark 4. I know it works for everything. Ministry, you know, it works for the ministry. It works for life, generally. Mark 4. The parable of the sower, right? In the parable of the sower, let me just read that note. Now, we had a teaching we had on this thing, on this subject or this concept, I've been in the year 2001 or so, which is 22 years ago. We call it Why Faith Confession Works. Now, I'll just bring out something. On the account of the parable of the sower, in the three synoptic gospels, we saw that the seed of the word was stolen from the heart, from where the seed of the word was stolen was the one that lacked the understanding. Matthew 13, verse 3 to 23. Matthew 13 verse 3 to 23, Mark 4 verse 1 to 20, Luke 8 verse 4 to 21. So that first ground that by the wayside was he did not understand. Now let's even look at it together. He did not understand. Matthew 13. And verse 19. Where one heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not. It says, then cometh the wicked one and snatches away that which was sown in the heart. Okay? Mark 4. And verse 15. When they heard the word, Satan cometh immediately. Say immediately. That's what he said, immediately. Luke 8. Verse 12. Now it says, come the devil takes away the word sown out of their hearts, lest they believe and be saved. So you see that it's like, something can be on your heart, but you did not think upon it, because meditation is what brings understanding. You just put it there and just walks away. So Satan came immediately. Now look at that. That immediately can be in the service, it can be just at the car park, it can be on your way. And immediately, Satan comes for it. Somebody can copy and say, I think Brother Hayden said it first, and E.W. Kenyon, that
Satan focuses on the word. Because that is where the victory of the believer is. It focuses on the word. Focuses on what you just heard. Okay? When I hear God's word, I hear about his plan, his purpose, his power. So he focuses on it. So I was saying earlier, let me forget the word, that you start talking about preachers, ministers. You guys share this story of the Archbishop of Idahosa, who people were just saying that the man was wearing Agbada. That was the problem. Is this one? Is this one? Someone say it's Ogboni. Someone say it's my father would say that, were they part of the Ogboni? How do they know? Someone say, is this one? Is that one? Is this one? I went out hometown. OGTV. My brother was not feeling fine. It'd been like for that. He was doing the Christmas prayer. And then I just tuned for the first time. I said, let me just say this, man. And I was not a believer, but I knew that somebody was not a believer. Can you imagine? So he said this one. He just gave a word of knowledge. Ah. He said she put her hands on the person. I did. And the guy was healed. Ah. You can imagine what would have happened if I just raised it up. Not a believer myself. This is not a believer. We are not believers. You know, you have to watch yourself. Is that clear? So he says Satan came immediately. So it's one thing to know. You have the Mark 11 truth, and he says, if you say, and you know some of us, you say, I've said some grand person say, but I've been speaking the words, I've tried it. He says, you understand it or do you understand it? So that's why we came up with the fact of why faith confession works. You know? Why? Number one, there's a teaching like that, and I'm not sure it's on Living World Media yet. Why does faith confession work? Why does it, when I speak the word, why does it work? I think I must know. And it's good to look back and say, it worked for you. You go, why did it work? Why does it work? You understand? So, the first thing is, that is how seeds are sown in God's kingdom. Look at the parables that we just read. It was by speaking. Mark 4 and 26. 26 to 30. So is the kingdom of God if a man casts seed into the ground. Okay? If a man should cast seed into the ground. And he was talking about the word. He calls the seed the word of God. Okay? The seed is the word of God. In Matthew 17 verse 20, we read that one earlier. Luke 17 verse 6. So with words, we sow seeds. Words are seeds. So if I say it's the word of God, it simply means the word of God on my lips, I sow it into my heart. Alright? So, look at the fact also that when we go to, how do we get people born again? We sow what? Seeds. I mean, look at how much God saves someone. I was telling someone, was it some years back, 2007, I was talking about, I didn't like all this faith mechanic. I said, well, in as much as you can say some people are extreme. But it's a fact that this conversation we're having, you are trying to, okay, I say you're trying to convince me about God in his word, alright, but you are using the same thing. You are trusting in the power of the Holy Spirit to convince me by your speaking. So that's true. When we go out to preach, what do we use? Words. And when we use those words, we know that the word of God has gone to the heart of man, right? I know the most difficult thing, as it were, let me allow me to use that phrase, for the word of God to penetrate is the human heart. And when we speak it, whether we preach it, it goes there. So it is via words that we sow seeds in God's kingdom. Are you here? How many of us have confidence that when we preach, the word of God goes to the people's hearts? And the same way, it's your same lips that we use to put the word of God to work. Why does faith confession work? Because it is through words that we sow seeds in God's kingdom. I remember one time me and my friend were talking about the parable of the sower. Parable of the sower, interestingly, was my favorite many years ago because that was my first major series. So we're arguing parable of the sower. We said, who is the sower? Somebody said, it is God. Someone said, it is the preacher. And we all went and it's the preacher. And someone said, it's the written word. Someone said, everybody else said, well, whatever we say, the seed is the word of God. So we can argue on what the who is the sower, it's the word. So I know faith confession works because that is how, it's through words that seeds are sown in God's kingdom. Okay? How else? Do you know that faith confession works because that is the way the word of faith comes to us? Romans 10:17. Faith is by hearing and hearing the message. Faith is hearing the message. So, faith of God is birthed in our hearts by hearing the message. Faith is here. Mark 16:15. We said that earlier. He that believes. Believes what? Go into all the world and preach. So faith is birth when we hear the message. How else? Faith confession works because it renews our minds. It renews our minds. For example, Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. You will meditate day and night. Our mind is involved. Why? Because our words are involved. Same thing, Psalm 1:1. Blessed is the man that walks on the counsel of the ungodly, stands in the way of sinners, sins, sin of scornful, but is that love of the Lord? Does meditate day and night. Meditation. Now, the Hebrew of the word meditation is to roar out, which is a loud roar from the heart. Agar, A-G or Agor, A-G-U-R. A loud roar. It comes out of your heart, but through your words. And it keeps your mind fixed on God's word. Obviously, look at Matthew 6:31. Jesus said, take no thought, saying. Now, taking thought is by worry, taking thought is worrying. Verse 27, take thought. Verse 25, so he says, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Whither shall we be clothed? So which means that doubt, worry, and anxiety are expressed in words. So if doubt, worry, and anxiety are expressed in words, faith is also expressed in words. So I renew my mind when I speak God's word. To renew my mind, I speak God's word. So one, why does it work? It works because in the kingdom of God, seeds are sown by words. Faith is also birth when we hear a message in words. Three, that's how we renew our minds. Number four, it keeps the answers. When we pray, it keeps the answers before us. Look at Mark 11:24. What things soever you desire. Look at it. What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you shall receive them and you shall have them. 23 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things that he says comes to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. So he had already told you what believing means. It means you believe that those things that you say is coming to pass, you have whatever you say. Therefore, based on that, I say to you, whatsoever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. So I keep my answers before me. I believe God. I believe that I receive and I have. So I keep my answers before me.
I remember a guy, you know, he told me, a pastor friend, and he was going to, about to make decisions. So, I went to his house, about 20 years plus. So we said, let's pray. So I was praying, I said, now, we are prayed. So I said, this is August. Remember, it was August. August so and so. This day at this hour was the day the answer came. The wisdom came. The direction came. So I said, when you step out of this place, keep saying August. I forgot the day of August. August so and so at 4 p.m. so and so place. The wisdom came. Because I know God and his word are one. When I spoke, he answered. He gave me the wisdom. And I have the wisdom. So say that often, often. Later on, he said, I now know what to do. I said, no, you knew what to do that day. Right? What happened now is you now walked in the miracle that you had received. See, we have to have the confidence that when we prayed, God gave us. Are you here? So it keeps the answer before us. In Proverbs 4:20, when it says, my son, attend to my words. Incline your ears. Look at Proverbs 4. Let's get it together. Incline your ears to my sayings. Keep them. Proverbs 4:20. Keep them. Sorry, what did I say there? Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. He now says, for their life to those who find. Look at again. My words, my sayings. Their life to those that find and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from you forward mouth and perverse lips. Put it away from you. Look at that. Perverse lips. Put it away from you. Let your words line up with God's word. Let your words line up with God's word. Proverbs 29, not just that, but Proverbs 18. Of course, this is about people, really. It says, death and life, verse 21, are in the power of the tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. You know, you say, well, but this death and life is about not speaking, affecting people and all that. But whether it's affecting people or it's affecting you, death and life are in words. You have to, therefore, know how you use your words. Verse 20 says, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Now look at how we are filled with the Spirit. How are you filled with the Spirit? Huh? By speaking. So, you can see the power of words. We are filled by speaking. We are edified by speaking. Why won't I put premium on my words? There's nobody filled with the Holy Ghost and say, I feel the Holy Ghost. It's by speaking. It's by speaking. It's by speaking. So therefore, I renew my mind. I keep the answer before me. Number one, we said, it's how we sow seeds in the kingdom of God. Number two, it's how faith is birthed. We hear of the faith of God by the message. Number three, it renews our minds. Number four, we keep the answer before us. Number five, our words causes the word of God to register on our heart. When we hear God's word, like what we just read now, it registers on our heart by speaking. You see, there are two preachers that you must always hear. You must hear the pastor speaking. You must also hear yourself speaking. You must hear yourself speaking. It will register on your heart till you put it right on your lips. It will register. That's why I told you the story of Rentokes, that he just kept, and he did it consistently every day. Every day. Every day. And he would just sit me down and be talking and talking and talking and talking. We'll take a stroll and he'll do all the talking. Just to get himself. That's why even when you are preaching, remember what Reverend Chris Oyakhilome said one day? He was believing God for something that had to do with family and all that. So he died a series. So he now said later on, when, of course, the miracle came, he said, do you think that series was for you? He said, of course it was for you, I'm your pastor. But I wanted to hear myself. He said, so every time because I noticed that when he got on it, he would just be somehow, he was a little bit, much more fervent about it. All things are possible. He said, I wanted to hear myself say it. And when you preach yourself, that's why when you tell people that, this is me in ministry, this is me preaching. when a preacher is having problems, let him preach himself out of it. He will preach. See, what the devil will say, don't go and preach. If you go and preach, look at what happened in your life. You didn't even get this one, or you fell into this sin. Go and preach. When you preach, you will hear yourself. And I know you are born of God. When you are hearing yourself say it, you will do it. You know, hear yourself again and again and again and again and again. There was someone that told me, then I pastored the church for a while there, said this lady, you know, he just went and talked and talked. I said, so I just kept quiet. He said, so what do we do? I said, nothing. You told me what she did now. I mean, you told me what someone did. What do we do? Do about what? She has done what you said she did. And what do you want to do again? And I said, okay, now. So I never did in that church. I just called the lady out. So I'm going to preach. They thought I was crazy. Come and preach yourself out of it. She got up and preached. Of course, I called her later and rebuked her and stuff like that. But they were looking at me like this. Think I'll call you to preach? Pharisees. And she preached. And when she preached, people were blessed because they had not told the story to the people. You hear yourself preach. You hear yourself preach. You hear yourself preach. Hallelujah. So when you get home, there are some sermons that you are the one that will hear it. You are the one that will hear. That's why you just shut yourself and just hear yourself. You hear it and hear it and hear it and hear it and hear it. I cannot be defeated. And I will not quit. It's not just something you say in church. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And a simple text message outside, your mood has changed in the car. But say, what's happening? I'll talk to you later about it. That's when to say it. I will not quit. A cousin of mine, still a Muslim, he said, interestingly, you told me that. He said, I thought you were fighting me. I said, no. He said something about me. On the street, though, I opened my Bible. I stood on it. I was a younger Christian. I said, I'm standing on God's word today. But it was from my heart. I said, I'm standing on God's word today. I said, mark my words. I'm going to bless your family. See, I said it. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Because I knew what he said. That's how weapons come. He wanted to start thinking about it. Someone gave me an advice, said, so go and think about it. I said, I won't. He said, I said, I won't. What should I think about what you said? Is it the devil that spoke to you? Say, me? I said, yes, you. No, I was. I'm gentler now. Much, much more gentle now. I just, on the street, I said, I stand on the word. Do you know everything I said came to pass? Even my dad. My dad knew me. He said, you who knows, this is the company you are going to work. What is Shakara you are doing? Going out doing fellowship. I said, I'm going to buy it. He laughed. He said, this company I'll buy it. He looked at me. You buy what? With what? He said, I reminded him. And that happened how many years after I said it? 2007. 13 years. So I'm going to buy it. And I meant it. And I bought it. From him. I gave him money. It's not daddy, son, chain. No. I'm going to buy it. You know, weapons can come. You just hear those two say, no. No. No, that's not me. No, that's not me. You come and say, no, that's not me. No. 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 That's not me. And then you say, it's not my portion. That's not me. In the name of Jesus, I just speak God's word. Why does it work? Because it causes the word of God to register in our hearts. Number 6, we set the law of faith in motion. There was a law set by that woman. She set it in motion. See, if faith and words mean nothing, in Mark 5, when Jairus' daughter had died, and they said, trouble not the master. Your daughter is dead. As soon as Jesus heard it. No, Mark was very precise. As soon as he turned to Jairus and said, be not afraid, only believe.
Let's say, ha! I am you! My life. Only believe. As they got there, they saw the provisional mourners. Jairus. Jesus said, she's sleeping. And they started laughing immediately. Because that's what they do for a living. Because, see, let me say this one to you. Don't think that people's pity means anything, though. Let me ask you. When you pity people, don't you continue your life? Have you not picked the phone and say, oh, sorry, I feel for you, eh? I feel for you. And all that. And as soon as you are done, your husband will just say, honey, sweetie. Or you put on the TV. I say, wow. You know, so that one is crying on his own. So don't blame anybody that they are not joining you. You don't do it too. Harvest that faith. Have it to yourself. And to your God. Okay? Aha. What did Jesus do when he got to Jesus' house? And he said, his daughter's dead. And people are laughing. He moved everybody out. There are things you can remove from your life. Don't come here. He went to his own hometown. He could not do any mighty work. Why? The crowd. Because they say, what is he? There are people, when you see some people, they look down on who you are, on your ministry. Don't try to be pleasing them. Just go. Go to those who will receive your ministry. They will eventually receive it. Go to them. He removed them immediately. The source of mockery. Immediately. Don't come here again. Ah, am I not your friend? You are not. You don't believe God with me. So simple. So, that's number 6. Number 7. Because angels act on God's word. Psalm 103 verse 20. It says they're acting to the voice of his word. The voice of his word. Now, that could be put in different formats. It could be the word of the Lord in the Old Testament or speaking. But notice that in the New Testament, the Old Testament as well, you find people praying and angels responding to it. Which means that when we speak, supernatural beings react to it. They do. Now, have you ever cast out demons before? Huh? How? Because you said something. Right? And you said something. You don't say, cast out demon. You think you are chewing cord? You will say. Is that it? So, words, right, exercise our faith. Are you here? Words exercise our faith. We learn to put premium on our words. And I must say this, some of us, we used to be like that, and we stopped. Go and do a repentance on that. And start working on your words. Imagine if you have to record the words you speak in a day. Sometimes you'll be ashamed of the things you have said. Work on the things that you say. The things that, you know, it's so funny that when I got into the ministry, I kept saying something and it kept coming to pass. I'll say, I'm not a pastor. I'm not a pastor. I did not know this thing until years later. I'll just say, I'm not a pastor. I'm not a pastor. I'm just this one. I'm just called to, initially I said I was an evangelist and teacher. I'm not called to pastor. I'm not called to pastor. I now notice a trend that I'll just pastor and the churches will not grow. The ministry, you just have problems and we'll close them. I just said, what's going on? Then I started to say, I pastor. I am a pastor. As soon as I did that, we started saying community church. I just changed what I used to say. Just change what you are saying. So say, hey, we have a small church. That's how it's going to remain. We have a growing church. It's growing. Now I'm not asking you to go and be boasting about numbers. We have a growing church and we are reaching the world. You know, I would say to people there, I said, she's sitting, I'm saying in this room, eh? They are going to hear it in the world. There was one day we're dubbing on a workman. I said, this thing I'm talking about is on the world media. I said, this teaching, that is in this workman. The people there listen to what I'm saying. In this workman. I said, pay attention. People around the world will hear it. It's on the world media now. It's workman, though. Will be in the, and the people are talking to them, yeah, amen. I said, write it that I said it. Your words. They give direction to your own life. I'm upward bound with God's word. I walk in the light of God's word. You know, someone told me, he said, that the song that helps him the most is a preacher. He said, you know, that song, I walk in the light. The one Pastor Wiley spoke, sang. That was 2007, is 7 or 6? 7. Is 7. I walk in the light. He said, anytime I sing that song, clarity just comes. I saw people sitting there and joking, like reggae. I don't take it seriously. Someone else is singing it and having direction. A pastor told me, he said the song, what's that song again? The peace of God prevails. He said, you know, it's what we sing in our church. And he said, so many testimonies have come out of singing that song. Just singing it. I know, just singing about the peace of God. It's actually the word of God that you are saying. Amen. It's the word of God you are saying. Say it long enough and see it in your life. Say it long enough. Have you, some of us will not even say it long enough. You have to look at this wristwatch. It's already 24 hours. I've been saying this thing. Amen. Are you there? I keep the answers of my prayer before me. I renew my mind. Amen. That's why faith confession works. It works because first and foremost, the way I believe the gospel was that words were spoken, right? And that's the greatest miracle in the earth. Words were spoken and here am I, born again. And when they said to me, I'm a new creature. That was how many years ago? I'm a new creature now. Are you here? Look at prophecies too. Prophecies will come. I remember Rostatro said, can you hear what I'm saying? I said, no, I recorded it, sir. I recorded it so that I can say it again and again and again and again and again and again. And some of those things that were said to me, I say it when I'm preaching. I remember them like this. I say it. You need them at the darkest hours. At the strongest hours. Say, I'm not going down. And you say it so loud. Someone say, but which verses are not going down? When you read everything together, is that not what he's saying? So I said, but there's no verse that says I cannot be defeated. Okay, when he says you are more than conquerors, please, what is the Yoruba meaning? Whatever is born of God overcomes the world, what does it mean? The word he's saying there is ion, then cosmos. You just suffer for nothing. You know, overcome is overcome. It's just as simple as that. You know, your words matter a lot. You know, when I was in university, they were doing yearbook. People were trying to be like the crowd. Say, what are you going to do when you're in university? Someone say, I just put there and said, I'm going to preach the gospel. In 10, 15, 20 years, the gospel I'm going to preach will be around the world. And it came to pass. The guy who was doing the printer, because I told the guy, the printer was my friend. He said, Pastor Shakes. He said, yes, is it not too spirit Congo? You mean I'm a spirit Congo? When the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. That spirit Coco is very key. The other Coco part, they are hearing me. The Coco part of the spirit, they are hearing what I'm saying. Aha, leave it to me now. And just put God's word on your lips. So, like I said when I started, it's so simple that some of us have practiced it before. We just dumped it. It's now easy for us to stalk fear. So easy. I'm just being realistic here. You don't enter trouble. I'm just being realistic here. You know, let's face the facts. Let's face the facts. If you keep facing the facts will face you back. Hallelujah. I stay in faith. That's it. I stay in faith. There was one preacher like that. Everybody was telling him, do this one, do that one. I called him on the phone. I said, stay on the word of God. He says, I don't care what happened. I said, get on your pulpit and speak God's word. And say, our ministry will reach the world. I said, it won't go down. When he did, it was tough. I said, just go and say that. Because you see, it's a battle. You see, thoughts came from words. Thoughts produce fear and worry. So when you know, you can't battle thoughts with thoughts. Oh. So that will whip you, eh? When meditation is already speaking. Sometimes, it's just that one is a bit more refined. Not too refined for spiritual things. Back then, even till now, people would just be greeting me and know that I'm not talking to them. I wasn't talking to you. You just be talking. I saw one man of God like that, and he said so many things, you know, and I saw that he spoke for a long time. So I told myself, this man spoke for how many hours? Like 3 hours. The way I'm going to undo it, I must at least speak for 6 hours. So I left his house. He stayed in Challenge. Ring Road. So I was going to walk to, if you know about it, I was going to walk to Bodija. Just speaking. And I wasn't fast. He said, use 3 hours to talk to me. And he spoke doubt, unbelief, and fear. I'm going to use 6 hours. Undo everything in 3 hours. So I was just walking. Just talking. And talking. And talking. And talking. You speak in tongues more. Talk more. Talk more. Talk more. You are the one that knows what's going on. You saw how much fear came to your heart. Because we are all a product of influence. So I will rewire it and use my word. These are simple things I know you have practiced before. You know, and with the word of God on your lips, the word of God is your victory sign, is your victory song. Put it on your lips. Look at Romans 4. Are you here? Remember how we started. Never put your experiences first, especially the bad ones. Whenever you are believing God, judge him faithful. Look at those things. You know, those times that you just didn't have anything in the house and somebody just was led by the Holy Ghost to help you. Remember those times that someone helped you sort out your school fees. Remember those times. Now, of course, today you are an executive, you work in a bank, you work in an oil company, but that was a miracle. Right? And the same way, another miracle can happen. Don't get so logical. Do you get it? Just remember it. Remember it vividly. That God, by his power, came through for you. I'll say it again. And you know, it's also good to be saying it often. I say, you know, when I was in secondary school, that's how somebody helped me. That's how I didn't have transport fare, and I just believed God, and somebody just took me to that. And you just keep saying it. You know what you are doing? You are putting the faithfulness of God ahead of doubt and unbelief. I judge him faithful. I judge him faithful. You know, and the way to release your faith is by speaking. I judge him faithful. I judge him faithful. Romans 4. Are you here? Get back on those strong principles. Of course, it's with the entire counsel of God's word. Their foolishness, you shouldn't get involved in and all of that. But like I tell people, even when you are using medication, right? Use your faith. I believe God. You know, don't say, well, since I've already started using medication, let's go on holiday. Mm-mm. Faith and medication are not enemies. Are you here? I've stayed in faith of people that were going for surgery and said, we believe God, everything is going to go fine. And you come out well. It's the faith of God. God and his word will meet you at any level. Okay? Don't say because it's not medical science. You not slip into doubt. My mom told me something. She said to me that she was a nurse, and she stayed in this particular theater, trauma theater. People would come in and all that. And the people that were before her, they used to have these testimonies of people coming in and dying. She just said, they now found out all of them were believers. They now believed God. That no single person would die in their hands. They got the testimony. They believed God together. You know, when you hear things, and don't start rationalizing. For how long? For no matter how long, it came to pass.
Yes, sir.
You understand? Don't the first thing when a miracle happens, don't try to rationalize it. It's the power of God. How can you believe in an unseen God and start doubting miracles? I mean, how can you believe, and you believe, you say, God, where is God? Is it in your pocket? The more reason why you should be strong about the supernatural. A Christian must be strong about the supernatural. Christianity is built on the unseen world. It's a fact. I believe God. I believe God. So when I say I believe God, I believe in miracles. I believe in miracles. I do. I believe God. You just believe God and that was it. They just believe God. They said, let's just believe, we're all Christians, let's just believe God here. That this will be different. You can. When Christians are working in the same organization, let's know. Let us know. We are full of thanks. No murmuring. We believe God. Look at Numbers 14. Numbers 14, 28. Are you in church?
Yes, Pastor.
Let's start from 13. Look at those men. When they came back, the land is filled with milk and honey, in verse 27. And this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, you know, there are some guys like that, they all have a double confession. I know the Bible says it, but nevertheless, the people will be stronger dwelling in the land. The cities are walled and very great, and moreover, we saw. I mean, they just had enough testimony. The children of Anak, the Amalekites dwelt there, they went on and on. Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Moses, he didn't say the Lord said it. He had already put the word of God on his lips. Sometimes when we put the word of God on our lips, it's like we are boasting. He didn't say, the Lord is able. He said, we are able. That's what he said. He's trusting on God's power, but he said, we are able. We are able. Let's go up at once. They went up with him and said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. They brought up this and all that. Look at verse 33. They went on. Chapter 14, verse 1. All the congregation lifted up their voice and cried. People wept that night. That's why you can't put somebody in leadership who talks fear. He's a dangerous person. Who talks fair? Immediately you will sack the person. What did you just say? Ah, no. You can't pastor here. Oh. But I said you can't pastor here. Ah, we believe God here. Oh. We believe God here. You can't. And that, also people that work with me in the circular, I'll tell you, look, if you start saying this thing, I'll remove you. I know we follow principles. I know we follow this one. I know with this one. But you see, we believe God. there's a time the principal will have principle. The principal will have principal. You have to say, let's just believe God now. That's what you do. I believe God. Now notice, all night they all wept. See how doubt can spread. That's why you have to cut that influence. All night they all were, all night weeping. Young and old. A whole nation. That must have been a tweet, right? A Facebook post. Everybody just followed after it. A whole nation. A whole nation. Do you know that in the natural you are saying, well, if everybody in the nation could do like that, they cannot be wrong. Who told you that? They can be wrong. Everybody can be wrong. Everybody. Are you here? In Noah's time, only Noah and his souls were right. In Lot's day, Abraham. You can go on and on. They can be wrong. Everybody can be wrong. They can be wrong about your health. They can be wrong about your future. And they have been wrong anyway. God's word is always right. Put that on your lips. Look at Numbers 14. They were murmuring. How many of you know murmuring is of the devil? You know it though. Some of you even preach it, but you do it. You know what? Some of us don't murmur with different sounds. There's a murmuring. There's a brother that we used to call, say, answers by murmuring. You say, how are you doing? Hi. There's just a tone. I know where he picked it from. I'll tell you. No, it wasn't a joke. Oh. Now, I'm sure he won't be upset now. Brother, you know, I love you. You know, it was one of my first disciples. So, you know, so he knows that, you know, we're going to watch him one day. I love you. You know, so. You know, his dad, his mom had pastor. So his dad married another wife. So the wife, you know, was not treating them right. So he always had issues with his father. So he grew up feeling down responded naturally. The father would speak to him, the stepmom. So he grew up that way. He now became, it wasn't like that when he was young. Young guy, he would just go, okay, sir. So it was in his voice. So by the time he got born again, and I started discipling him, you know, he responded like that naturally. You just see a complaint, and he was not always laughing. In a Holy Ghost meeting, you all know him. No, I'm not joking. It got to a point, when I first knew him, not now, it was not later, he actually had planned to commit suicide. It was really bad. I was led by God's will that day to just go to his house directly. And I went. I saw him. He had written a letter for me. So it was like that. So it's not like it was not just a character. It was something that he became just more naturally. So I will not go to, he cool down. So there will be no food. So there's no food. There's going to be all, cool down now. It's just mom. Something in the past makes them complain. These guys were so used to murmuring. As scripture says, they murmured and they were destroyed. Look at this. Verse 27. How long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I've heard the murmurings of the children of Israel which they murmur against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, said the Lord, as you have spoken in my ears, so will I do. He didn't say as you have thought, is as you have what? Spoken. I get my words right. I tell people often times, I say, well, let's agree there's a bad situation. Right? The situation is already bad. Anyway, whether you speak God's word or not, the situation is already bad. So if you say Zion is bad, is it your sin that made it bad? It's already bad. So it won't hurt to say the power of God is working. You know, it won't hurt. It's already bad anyway. So why not just put the word of God on the scene? And it's not for people to hear it. So people are only loud when people are there. The power of God is working. It's when people are there. When they are alone, power of God. Power of God. The guy who isn't working. They are like afraid. If I go and say walking, there's going to be trouble. The power of God is walking. So we put the word of God on our lips. I close here. We put it on our lips because we know words are the way seeds are sown in God's kingdom. Words give direction to God's power. So we put the word of God on our lips. And you see, we will never feast upon bad experiences. No. I feed on the good testimonies. When I've laid hands on the sick, I remember those who were healed. When I'm preaching the gospel, I remember those who were saved. When I'm casting out demons, I remember those ones who were set free. That's what I'm going to remember. I believe the word of God is working. You know? Do you know that murmuring over your nation is also a sin? It's a sin. Look at 1 Timothy 2. Let me show you something there. We'll close on that. 1 Timothy 2. I was going to share a bit of that at the workers' training convention, but I couldn't because of our time. 1 Timothy 2, 1. It says, first of all, 1 Timothy 2, 1. Paul, writing to the church. First of all, supplications. Prayers. Are you there? Intercession. And what? Be made for who? For who? Verse 2. Don't say amen. So you're supposed to give thanks for those in government. Right? It's the word of God. Give thanks. Learn to give thanks. Learn to give thanks. Learn to give thanks. Learn to have a response for the devil for all seasons. No shaking. The power of God is working. I said, just have an auto response. Shake it. We'll be good. We'll be fine. Everything will be fine. Everything's going to work out fine. Have that response in God's word. So practice these simple, simple principles. Watching what you say, watching what you think, and when thoughts come to your head, you change it with your words. Practice them. Simple. They're very simple, though. Someone told Kerry Copeland, he said, it's easier said than done. He said, God made it that way. So that it can be easy. Say it that way. When you say I'm saved, were you not saved? I'm healed. I'm led by God's Spirit. I walk in the light. I don't walk in confusion. My needs are met. My needs are met. My bills are paid. I'm helped of God. Help comes to me in every area. Wisdom always comes to me. The power of God is walking. Come on, go ahead and thank God.